Be present and lend me your ears. Lend me your ears. Okay. So he says that silence, excuse me, as we get older, huh? In the Buddhist history, the word silence corresponds to right view, seeing impermanence, the truth that everything is appearing, disappearing, and changing from moment to moment. Impermanence is not something you see objectively. It is something you taste directly. Then impermanence makes you silent, because impermanence is very quiet, and that silence connects you with the deep sense of human value. So we know that there are different kinds of silence, and there are many teaching of the Buddha that talks about that. So the first characteristic of Buddha's silence, and there's a number of tales about the fact when he's questioned by students about some matters, his only response is silence. And they want to know why. And they say, what kind of silence is this? So the first characteristic of Buddhist silence is emptiness. Everything is produced by interdependent co-origination, which means there's nothing to hold on to, because everything is interconnected very closely, appearing and disappearing at super speed. There is nothing but activity, dynamic, functioning. And this is called emptiness. And it's interesting, he quotes from one of the sutras, the Heart of Perfect Wisdom Sutra, and it's very similar to one of the Psalms that we have, where he says, we say, no eyes, no ears, no nose, no tongue, no body, no mind. So here is one of the characteristics of silence, and then we'll stop and be silent. So nothing has its own separate existence. Everything is interconnected and produced by interdependent co-origination. So bear that in your, as an invitation to spend some moments in silence. I'll ring the bell at the beginning and the end of each section. So sit comfortably, find the, as I love it when Bobby says, find a dignified position. And as I'm always told in my exercise class, don't slouch. Slouching is bad. Your mom was always right when she said, sit up straight. She was right. So sit up straight, find a position. If you can, put your feet on the ground. And if you can, you know, don't sit stiffly, but, you know, bend your chin a little down. You don't want to create a stiff back. You want to have a natural curve of the back, and find a place that is comfortable. And that's a very good way to begin, not only sitting, but pretty much for most of your life. Find something that you can find is comfortable for yourself. The second characteristic of silence is oneness. Oneness is realizing the wholeness of existence instead of being content with knowing one small aspect. Silence as oneness is characterized by reflecting upon the self with an open heart that accepts and respects others. For example, to understand your own opinion, you have to see your opinion in relation to other people's opinions as one whole. It's pretty hard to fight each other. So finally, you are quiet. And when you deeply see who you are and taste human pain and suffering very deeply, you cannot say anything. You understand your own pain, others' pain, how each is connected to the other, how suffering is connected to happiness, and how all are related to your past life, your present life, and your future life. If you really understand this oneness, you can taste silence. You can see silence. When, where, how? Well, it depends on your practice. You have to practice being quiet. So instead of always discussing or arguing, be silent. I don't mean you should always shut up. I'm talking about finding deep silence. Silence is a great space where you can accept everything. The third characteristic of silence is devotion. Silence is full devotion. Your self-centered life is thrown away to wholeness. A whole life is characterized by commitment in love, wisdom, and prayer. Prayer is not something directed from a particular subject to a particular object with the expectation of a particular result. Prayer is egolessness, supported by deep love for all things, a profound aspiration extended to all lives. It is the very basic, very deep energy of life. We must take best care of this energy and extend ourselves fully and deeply toward it. The fourth characteristic of silence is magnanimity. Magnanimity is a kind of generosity or elasticity. Narrow views prevent this elasticity from working in our own and others' lives. For instance, if you say to me, "Katagiri, you're Japanese," I can't understand where you're coming from, so your Buddhism is not for me. That is not elasticity. You must be generous. You must be magnanimous. So try to be present right in the middle of magnanimity or generosity first. Then you can take a deep breath and realize the peaceful life. Buddhist silence is very important for us. So sit down in Zazen. Put yourself right in the middle of the wholeness of the universe and be master of yourself there. Taste silence with your whole body and enter that wholeness with trees, rocks, and sky. At that time, each single form of existence appears alive in the energy of profound aspiration. Before we take our break, just a little bit about the Katagiri and the name of his book. If you want to get it, it's published by Shambhala. If you know something about the Shambhala Press, they do some marvelous books. The book is called, again, it's his students who put this together based on his oral teachings. It's called Each Moment is the Universe. Katagiri was born in Osaka, Japan in 1928. Dainin Katagiri was trained traditionally as a Zen teacher. He first came to the United States in 1963 to help with the Soto Zen Temple in Los Angeles. He later joined Shorinyu Suzuki Roshi at the San Francisco Zen Center and taught there until Suzuki Roshi's death in 1971. He was then invited to form a new Zen Center in Minneapolis, which in addition to a monastery in the countryside of Minneapolis, of Minnesota, he oversaw until his death in 1990. In the back of the book, I found a wonderful blurb by Larry Rosenberg. Many of you may know, was very active in the Insight Meditation Center in Cambridge. And he says, "These are brilliant and lucid reflections on the immense significance of the present moment. These liberating teachings by Katagiri Roshi are unique and precious in their ability to help us learn to use time skillfully and not to be used by it. A major contribution for all schools of meditation." We'll take a short break and I'll be back and we'll have room and time for discussion.